Please turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Remember that the Apostle Peter wrote two of the epistles or letters found in the New Testament. There are actually 21 epistles, and these are letters that were written to groups of Christians or congregations, as well as individual Christians. But the Apostle Peter wrote two of those very important letters in the New Testament. Now, in his first letter that we're studying at the present time, Peter dealt with a number of responsibilities that God has given to his people. And Peter went on to show that these responsibilities must be fulfilled even if persecution must be suffered. And in emphasizing those points, Peter showed how Jesus suffered unjustly as a result of doing the Father's will. So our Lord is our great example. He never did anything wrong, and he was devoted to doing that which was right. But he suffered greatly as a result of that. There were some people who did not appreciate him or what he did, and consequently they treated him badly. But the Lord never grew faint. He, I believe, at times perhaps got a little bit discouraged. I think we can see some hints at that in the New Testament, the gospel accounts. But he never gave up. He never quit. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that the Lord never gave up. And he did what he did for a reason. He came to glorify the Father, but also he realized that his submission to the Father's will would have an effect upon everyone who ever lived. Well, we want to study for a little while the things that Peter recorded in chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. So let's read those verses. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. In these verses, Peter dealt with some additional instructions. We've already looked at quite a few, but these are some additional instructions that have to do with persecution, and that persecution was being faced and would be faced by the Christians living in the area known as Asia Minor. We learn that from chapter 1 in verse 1. Peter was writing to Christians in that area. And we have to understand from chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, that the faith of these early Christians was being tried. It was being tested in a very great way. And according to chapter 4 and verse 7, at least the first part of this verse, very soon they would be facing a great calamity. So while they were already being tried, perhaps a greater trial would soon be experienced. Well, in the verses we studied last week, Peter listed a number of responsibilities that would help them to remain faithful unto the Lord, even while facing persecution. Well, while fulfilling those responsibilities, it would be important for those Christians, as well as us, to face persecution in the right way. So that seems to be the point that Peter's emphasizing in these verses that we're studying. He's already shown that Christians have some very weighty responsibilities that must be fulfilled, even if we suffer as a result of fulfilling those responsibilities. But it's important that we face them in the right way. In verse 12, Peter said that this fiery trial was not to be considered strange or unexpected or something to that effect. As a matter of fact, near the end of his ministry, Jesus foretold that his followers would face persecution. Let's look at John 15 and verse 20. Jesus said, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Now, Jesus was speaking directly to the apostles, but he informed them that they could expect persecution. And notice that he mentions himself as the example. If they persecuted him, which they did, then his followers could expect persecution. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So here we have Christ as well as an inspired apostle foretelling the fact that Christians can expect persecution. Well, the Bible teaches us to pray for our leaders that we might live in a quiet and peaceable world. Unfortunately, times arise when God's people can be mistreated. Well, rather than consider this trial that they were going to face to be a strange event, Peter, in verse 13, chapter 4, called upon his readers to rejoice. That is, to maintain a positive disposition even while undergoing trials. Now, that particular word of instruction is found a number of times in the Bible. Let's notice what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount as he was beginning it by giving the Beatitudes. Matthew 5 and verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Our Lord was showing his followers that they could expect to be treated badly, but he's teaching the importance of maintaining a positive disposition. One thing that will help us to do that is to remember the reward that the Lord has promised. Philippians 4 and verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Does it say rejoice when everything's going well? No, it doesn't. It says always, doesn't it? That means when things are going well as when things are not going so well. And it's interesting, those verses I love to study and I love to teach from that follow, Philippians 4 and verse 4 show us how we can accomplish that. We have to let our forbearing spirit be known unto all men. We must avoid anxiety, and we must think on the right things. And Paul assures us in the context that if we will follow those instructions, he first says, "The God of peace will be with you," and then he says, "The peace of God will be with you." Now that's covering it from both angles, isn't it? Well, that's just about as good as it can get. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. This is our Lord writing, our Lord's brother, excuse me. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or face various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." One thing that will help us to maintain a positive disposition is to realize that we're able to develop patience or steadfastness or endurance. And James goes on to show how we can face persecution in the right way, and develop patience. One thing we need to do is pray for wisdom. James says God will give it abundantly. Well, to do what the Lord taught, what Paul taught, what James taught, and what Peter taught, we need to remember certain things. Now, Jesus, Paul, James, and Peter all said face difficulties with a positive disposition. They even used the word rejoice. We need to remember that should we be called upon to suffer persecution, we're actually partakers of the Lord's sufferings. And that's one thing that the apostles did. After they were abused and mistreated, they rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer shame on behalf of the name of the Lord. Well, they faced persecution in the right way. But there was a great congregation in Jerusalem looking to the example of the apostles. If they had not done what the Lord taught them, then Christianity would not have spread like it did. I read a number of years ago when I was in school that as Christians in the first century were being put to death and abused in horrible ways, that even pagans admired the way that they faced death with such a calm spirit. What about Stephen? He prayed for those who were casting the stones at him. And there's a story that's recorded of a man named Polycarp. He supposedly was a disciple of the Apostle John. So this man goes all the way back to the apostles. And as an old man, he was put to death. But before he was killed, he tended to the needs of those who came to arrest him. Well, it's amazing. Those early Christians were persecuted, but they followed these instructions, and it made quite an impression upon those who were actually putting them to death. I can't help but think that the persecutors were warning these early Christians to renounce their faith. They wouldn't do it. They faced death rather than turn their backs on the Lord. Well, we have to admire them for that. But Peter says, remember that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. It would do well for us to study the gospel accounts very carefully and place special emphasis on what happened to the Lord as he went about doing good. And in order to rejoice during times of persecution, Peter also calls upon the Lord's followers to remember something else. He said, remember that exceeding joy will be experienced when the Lord returns. Now that's keeping the eye on the ultimate prize, looking down the road past the temporary persecution. The Lord, of course, suffered greatly. But Peter says, remember that you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. Also remember that there will be great joy experienced when Jesus returns. In verse 14, he says, those who are reproached for the name of Christ are happy or blessed. Well, the word reproach, as Peter used it, means to speak evil against. And Peter's already mentioned several times that his readers were going to be tried in this way. Chapter 2 and verse 12, chapter 3 and verse 16. The people to whom Peter wrote were being tried in that particular way. People were saying evil things about them. Now, Peter was not the only one to say that those who are reproached for the name of Christ are blessed. Jesus taught that such people are blessed. We have already read Matthew 5 and verse 12. Now let's read verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Well, to be blessed, as Jesus and Peter both taught, those who are being persecuted need to remember that God's Spirit abides with His children. No one can take the Spirit away. And we need to remember that the reproach of the Lord's people provides an opportunity for Him to be glorified. I mentioned Stephen earlier. If there ever was a godly man, it was Stephen. He was taken into custody and some false charges were brought against him, but then he was given an opportunity to make a defense. And he preached a long sermon on Jewish history. He covered it, and he covered it in a very thorough way. But then when he got to the end, he made a direct application to the people in his audience. The Bible says they were cut to the heart. Now it's interesting that in Acts chapter 2, some people on Pentecost heard the gospel and they were pricked in their hearts. And they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were told what to do. They did it and they rejoiced. Here people were cut to the heart because of what Stephen preached, but then they took him out and stoned him to death. But while they were stoning him, he prayed that that sin would not be laid to their charge. I've mentioned this before, but for years I wondered why that had to happen. Well, I'm a man and I don't always see the big picture, but someone else does. There was someone in that group who perhaps was the ringleader. His name was Saul. He was from Tarsus. He was a devoted Jew, and he was devoted to eradicating Christianity. Thought he was doing what was right. Did it with a clear conscience. But he saw Stephen die, and the garments of those who cast the stones at Stephen were placed at the feet of Saul, indicating that he had some authority in what took place. If you read Paul's writings later on after he was converted, he was known as Paul the Apostle. He always remembered what had happened to Stephen. I can't help but think that that had a profound impact upon that man's life. So, while we regret that Stephen suffered as he did, the way that he died made an impression on Saul of Tarsus. And he became perhaps the greatest missionary that the Lord ever had. Well, we need to remember that the reproach of God's people just may provide an opportunity for God to be glorified. Stephen glorified the Lord when he was put to death. Well, in verse 15, while Peter's writing about suffering, he showed that Christians are not to suffer because of being involved in sinful activities. Now, earlier in chapter 1, Peter showed that Christians are to be holy. One reason why we're to be holy is because God is holy, and that's a good reason. But Peter also showed in chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, that Christians are to obey the laws of the land. And in dealing with that, he showed that the state is responsible for punishing lawbreakers. We have a lot of people in our society today who need to be taught that. Now, Peter says that God's people are not to suffer in the sense of being punished for doing some evil deed, such as murder, stealing, doing evil, or meddling in the affairs of other people. Well, that type of activity deserves punishment. And the state is responsible for punishing those who are involved in those activities. Now, some might consider that to be a form of suffering. Peter says you're not to suffer as a result of being punished for doing something that's evil. Rather, he said, he's giving these instructions for the benefit of those who are suffering as a result of doing good. Well, in verse 16, Peter said that those who suffer as a result of being Christians must not be ashamed. Rather than be ashamed, Christians are to glorify God. Now, I mentioned this earlier, but the apostles provided great examples in that particular area. Let's look at Acts chapter 5. I mentioned this earlier, but we'll actually read it. Acts 5, starting at verse 40. Now, first, Peter and John were taken into custody, and they were told not to preach in the name of the Lord. And then all the apostles were taken into custody. They were abused and mistreated. Let's notice how they reacted. Acts 5 and verse 40 says, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Something was pointed out one day many years ago when I was in school that I never really thought about. But when Jesus was on trial, the crowd yelled out various things. One thing they yelled out was, "His blood be on us and on our children." Not long after the church was established, the Jewish leader said, "You intend to bring this man's blood upon us?" Well, what did they cry out for when Jesus was on trial? Notice how the apostles have grown and matured. They were beaten. They were mistreated. They were told not to speak in the name of the Lord. Well, they rejoiced, just as Peter said that Christians are to do. They remembered that they were blessed and that they were counted worthy to suffer shame on behalf of the Lord. And they just kept on preaching like the Lord told them to do. You see, the devil can use persecution or tribulation to make the Lord's followers fall away or stop doing what the Lord wants. These instructions that Peter gave are designed to help us continue. And whenever we're studying the writings of Peter, remember that he knew what it was like to deny the Lord. But he never did it again. And he's writing these instructions that are designed to help us even today. Also, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul was the writer. And he said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." We have a song that's based on that particular passage of Scripture. Paul suffered much as a result of obeying the Lord. But he said, "I'm not ashamed." He always remember that his faith was based on the Lord and not man. Well, those who are suffering as a result of following the Lord must not be ashamed. And we need to realize that this provides an opportunity to glorify God. And thankfully, we have the apostles to look for and consider their examples. Now, in verses 17 and 18, Peter said that the time had arrived for the church to be tried or tested. He said this judgment or this trial would be so severe that even the righteous would find salvation to be difficult. And the point is, if God allowed his church to be tried, there will be no hope for sinners who do not obey the gospel. Now, there are several passages in the New Testament that deal with obeying the gospel. One is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is the other. And notice that those who do not obey the gospel will have no hope at the judgment. Now, the positive lesson to learn from that is we must obey the gospel while we have time and opportunity. But the time had arrived for the church to be tried or tested. And this would be a great trial. But finally, in verse 19, Peter said that those who suffer according to the will of God are able to do something very special. They're able to commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. Now, this morning in my daily Bible reading, I was reading from the Psalms, and I came across a statement that the Lord repeated just before he died. He said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Well, Jesus committed his well-being to the care of the Father, even as he was dying. Now, our Lord was not the first one to make that statement. Like I said, it was made years earlier in the Psalms. But we need to remember that all man can do is kill the body. The Lord is able to kill the body and destroy the soul. Well, the lesson to learn from that is that man can't affect the soul. God can save it. And, of course, we need to commit the keeping of our souls to him in doing what is right. In other words, fulfilling these responsibilities. So Peter was writing to Christians in the first century who were undergoing great trials. They were being persecuted and abused and mistreated. Nevertheless, it would be important for them to continue fulfilling their responsibilities. Persecution can cause Christians to stop fulfilling their responsibilities. You know, if something is causing you to suffer, if you remove that cause, whatever it is, then the suffering will go away. Well, Peter says that if you do what is right, you can expect some suffering along the way. These instructions are designed to help us remain faithful unto the Lord and never give in. I read something a day or two ago that caused me a lot of alarm. I didn't read the whole article. I guess I should have, but I was so disgusted that I didn't take the time to do it. And I'm not quoting verbatim, but this is pretty close. "The number of people today who believe in God is at an all-time low. There was an article with that title. And when I read that, I thought, well, I'm not going to waste my time reading that article. Perhaps I should have to gain some knowledge. But things like that can have a negative impact upon us. The number of people today in our world who believe in God is at an all-time low. Isn't that sad? I find that to be very sad. Well, when people don't believe in God, it might take a little while, but they eventually will turn on those who do believe in God. And when I see some of the positions that people hold today concerning moral issues, we can expect some difficulty to come. If you stand up for what the Bible says on issues such as homosexuality or abortion, you're said to be guilty of hate speech. That's a sign of things to come. Well, we have to remain steadfast. We can't give in to that kind of nonsense. But we have to remain true unto the Lord. Now we have to maintain the right disposition. And that's what Peter's talking about here. You have to face difficulties by maintaining an optimistic spirit. These instructions will help us to do that.